Dusty May can bring in more guys from Denmark than Steve Yzerman. Good morning, 97.1 Jim Costa without John Jansen today. No Heather Park. We have a special guest. Not a third day of Stoney. It's Jeff Rieger. Good morning.
What's going on, man? What's going on? That was interesting crack to start the show there, Jim.
Well, Ehlers is from Denmark, and we couldn't get a meeting with him.
It's not
good when you explain the joke. But anyway,
Ehlers said no and no.
We're going to be in rare form today. We got Gov and Greg behind the glass. You got Luke Sloan on the updates. Yes, we'll check in on the Yzer plan. Some grades have been handed out. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today, though. You have one of your lists, and I think this is the perfect timing for this. You are uniquely qualified to populate this list.
No, thank you.
We will challenge the audience later in the show to complete the list.
And I'll get the backlash from all y'all about this list.
Yeah, of course. That's how it works.
I heard you guys the other day really hurt my feelings. You know?
It wasn't your finest work.
It was the biggest surprises in Detroit sports life.
And you had Baez too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Javier Baez making the All-Star game, being the starting center fielder, is the most insane thing in the history of my life. Come on.
You had Barry 7th.
Yeah, I'm over Barry.
Oh, you might be over
it. Back in 2000.
Okay, I'll be over Javi in 20 years. I mean,
I don't think you ever will be. You'll be telling your grandkids. You'll be telling your grandcats. You'll be like, I remember the summer of 25, this bum Baez totally changed the narrative.
It's one of the great stories of this baseball team. We're going to talk to AJ Hinch later today, 8:02. We'll check in with the Tiger manager. This phenomenon in the game of baseball is on the docket. Let's just talk about last night a little bit. Colt Keith, heard it in the update there. He's on a tear right now. He hits another home run. He's not allowed to shave, but it's another story of a Tiger stepping up.
Did you hear the story, by the way, of why he's not shaving and what happened in Cleveland?
I did, but maybe share for the people.
Yes, apparently the razors in Cleveland stink. That's what he said. Like, apparently you can't get a great razor in Cleveland, so he started to shave his beard before, I think it was the last game of that series, the one they won in extra innings, and next thing you know, he's like, this hurts too much. He even things out. He's like, I'm going to let it go. They win the game. Monday happens. He forgets the shave, woke up too late, and now he's keeping the beard because he's red hot. Two homers in two games.
Slugging .620 the last 30 days. This is the best stretch of his career, is it not?
I would say so.
Yeah, 30-game stretch hitting .338 with power. Yeah.
Like, if Colt Keith could legitimately start each season hot, or at least, like, pseudo average,
yeah,
Colt Keith would have a 900 OPS. Like, every year, and it's only 2 years, he starts very slow. Other than that, though, he's outstanding. I heard Evan Petzold, the great Free Press writer, covers the Tigers. I heard his podcast. He suggested if you don't want to trade prospects for, let's say, a back-of-the-end reliever, you would trade Colt Keith. You down with that?
Keith for a reliever feels like a bad move.
Well, maybe you get a couple relievers.
Okay.
Yeah. Club-friendly contract. Cheap team like the A's would love something like that.
Oh, I think he'd be super
Mason
appealing.
Mason Miller for Colt Keith.
Okay. You're talking like an elite reliever.
I'm talking about a guy with swing and miss that comes in high leverage situations. Yes.
Because I think Keith would be super attractive for a team selling for the reason you said.
Yeah. I mean, he's under contract for the next 5 years.
I can play him. I can give him
Dirt cheap.
600 ABs. I know in Detroit here, he's kind of bounced around second base, third base. He's going to play first base. Someone could give him a home. I'm not running to trade him, but this is the classic give to get. It'd have to be the right player.
And you keep your prospects that nobody wants to give up.
Right.
Like, I truly believe, and maybe I'm wrong about this, the city of Detroit would rather give up Colt Keith instead of, let's say, Max Clark.
Or McGonagall.
Right. A guy that's proven.
Let me throw something
compared to somebody that's not.
Okay, Keith for Chapman.
That doesn't seem enough.
It's not enough for Aroldis Chapman?
I mean, that's a rental in Aroldis Chapman. And yes,
Mason Miller would be the guy because it'd be multiple years. Younger, flamethrower. I mean, we watched him throw 103
for 3 years, I want to say.
He threw 103 to blow by Torque when the Tigers played him.
Not to mention, think about Mason Miller, and then you look at Tommy Canley and Will Vest. I mean, you're looking at Vest and Miller, two fireballers, swing and miss dudes.
Sandwiched with a guy who throws changeups in the middle, and you can play the matchups.
That is a great 7-8-9 plan.
The thing with trading Keith, though, is you're taking a bat off this team. If you trade Colt Keith, you have got to add another bat.
Yeah.
So then you take one of the catcher prospects and you flip him for Suarez.
Or Bregman. Coming back soon. Bregman.
I'm not familiar with his work.
Bregman. Here, I'm going to try it. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Bregman.
Not as good.
Yeah.
Never heard of the guy.
Sorry, it's early in the morning. I mean,
you'll get used to it. Yeah. By the end of the day,
we should have counted
firing.
How many times Bregman was said while John was gone, but we could have told him.
Well, I didn't even really want to bring him up yesterday, but the irony of...
Oh, you always want to bring him up. You're even more of a troll than me, Jim.
It's not a troll. Is it a troll that Scott Harris pursued him in the offseason?
No. I don't think it's a troll, but the people listening think it's a troll.
Okay.
And you can't get away from that.
You're right about that part. They do think it's a troll.
Yeah.
I just thought the irony
you're just doing it for reaction.
The irony of McKinstry, the people making this campaign for him to be an all-star... And he stole a couple bags last night, right? He just keeps doing different things to help the team win. The irony is he can't get in unless a spot opens up. The roster's set in the American League. And there's one guy who made the All-Star game that's currently not playing baseball. And he may or may not come back this weekend to then be healthy for the All-Star game. And that guy happens to be the name that if I say it, everybody thinks I'm trolling. The irony that Bregman is the key to McKinstry being in the All-Star game is a sick, twisted irony.
It's pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I got two things. First of all, would Bregman really come back and then play the All-Star game like the next week?
I don't know.
I kind of feel he won't. But the second thing is, and maybe I'm wrong about this, people hate the idea of Bregman so much that if he were to come to Detroit and play outstanding third base and hit a big dong in a meaningful game in the postseason, I think there'd be some Tiger fans that would be unhappy about that. They would rather be right about Alex Bregman than have him have success.
I think you're exaggerating a small, miserable group of people.
No. There is a big group that represents this.
Well, right now there's a big group that doesn't want him. But you're saying if he was here, and I think it's more of a Hail Mary at this point.
Right.
If he was here.
I mean, they're only 2.5 games out of the wild card.
I know. They needed to go in the tank when he was out and they didn't.
Right.
They stabilized even after trading Devers. If he was wearing the old English D and he was batting 300 and come up with a couple postseason knocks, you think people would resent that?
I think there'd be some people that would be like, I want him to fail. Kind of like we are sometimes with our takes. Rather be right than the team be good.
The Cole Key thing you brought up, I think, is fascinating. Like his place on this team. Because the other side of this is I'm not trading him because I'm not paying Gleyber Torres. Torres is a free agent. I think everybody's on the same page. He took a one-year deal to get paid this offseason.
4 years, $100 million minimum, I would assume.
Right. He wanted $100 million. That was what he was setting himself up for. You figure right around $25 million is the highest paid second baseman. He's the all-star. Yeah, I mean, and the Tigers may come to terms with him. But I also think they have this in their back pocket where they can hit him with the qualifying offer, go, hey, we used each other. You got paid, we got all-star caliber play, and now Colt Keith slots in as our everyday second baseman.
Yeah, we get the comp pick, and he goes on. I agree. Listen, I wouldn't trade Colt Keith. There's no way in hell I would trade Colt Keith. He's a big part of this offense, and by the way, if you're just scratching the surface, and that's what AJ said yesterday, he's like, people got to remember how young this guy is. If this is just preview of coming attractions, this guy could legitimately be a superstar one day. Now, not great defensively. There's no way I would trade him. I would trade Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal so quickly before I traded Colt Keith.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I'm older than you, so I've done the prospect game more than you have. I've heard about the can't miss prospects that have missed in my lifetime. I don't care about prospects. I care about right now. It's not very often you have a situation like this.
That's Texter says, Keith's a proven player. I'd rather trade the prospects.
Ooh.
Ticket Texter says, are the Tigers becoming home run or bust? What, because they've been in a lot of home runs the last couple days?
Is that a bad thing? I mean, they're top five in home runs. Is that a negative?
Remember how often we used to say, like, they were just bust? We wanted more power?
Remember last year they lost every game 2-1? And then the gritty Tigers took over and the Tigers win again. I mean, come on.
And the whole thought was if they could just leave the yard a little more, it'd go a long way.
Right.
And evidenced by the last two nights and your stat all season long. Texter says, great, Rieger's on. Let's talk about trading Scooble for 3 hours. It's not on the docket.
You want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
I would trade him now.
No.
Real quick. This is obnoxious, okay? Last year, you're 9 games out of a wild card spot. It's the trade deadline. There's buzz all around Major League Baseball. You could get as Caputo loves this term, a boatload for him. It wasn't an asinine thing to think. Now, of course, you wouldn't trade him. But the funny thing is, you're probably going to lose him regardless. Hopefully, you win a World Series with him.
Ticket Tech says, this has to be the most Debbie Downer morning show ever created.
What have we said?
Well, I think that's what they think we're going to say.
I think the Tigers are great.
I do too.
Wow.
Wow. This is the Debbie Downer show.
Whoa.
A little Caputoism. Whoa. Hey, Jeff, you think they're the best team in the American League?
I do. By a long shot.
You're a Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
It's 97-1. All right, guys. Brightside. Been telling you about Brightside Dental. If you want a straighter smile without the metal braces, if you've been thinking about Invisalign, now is the perfect time to make your move with Brightside Dental. Visible, comfortable, and now more affordable than ever. I know that's a concern for people, but with Brightside Dental, you get the free consultation, no pressure. If it's the right fit for you, you can start your Invisalign journey for as low as $59 a month. Straight teeth, straightforward pricing, that's something to smile about. Mention Jim Costa in the morning show and lock in that price. Call 1-800-PAINLESS, go to brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Cole Keith is on a tear, and the Tigers keep winning. They are 25 games over 500. You don't have to pinch yourself. This is actually happening.
Insane.
They are one win away from 60 before the All-Star break. AJ Hinch will join us later in the show. We've got Jeff Rieger in today. And Jeff, we have an All-Star replacement. And this broke overnight. People may have missed this. Alex Bregman will not play in the All-Star game.
I missed this.
Yes. You know, we talked about it yesterday, the irony of you needed Bregman out to get McKinstry in. Well, Bregman is out.
So who's in?
It's not McKinstry.
What?
Junior Caminero. Tampa Bay Rays, their third All-Star.
Okay, so hold on a second.
Do you have an issue with this? And I'll throw it out to the people, 248-539-9797. There's been a real push to get McKinstry in as that utility guy, the first replacement. He gets passed over by Caminero.
Okay, if I were to get upset or uppity about the All-Star game to begin with, I absolutely 100% would have an issue with this. So Junior Caminero, 1.6 war. Zach McKinstry, 2.5 war. McKinstry, 283 batting average. Caminero, 30 points less. OPS, 790 for Caminero. 817 for Zach McKinstry. The biggest difference is home runs. Caminero has 21. McKinstry has 7.
Yeah, but
so then that's a pretty big difference.
But hold on. Let's do power and speed. So Caminero has 21 homers and 5 stolen bases.
Okay,
McKinstry closes the gap because I think he's got 7 or 8 homers and he's got 13 stolen bases. My point is it's not as dramatic of an edge for Caminero, even when you factor in speed and power.
No, I agree with you. I mean, listen, the Tigers have 4. The Rays had 2. Mm-hmm. So now they have 3. I don't know how they get to Caminero over McKinstry. I think McKinstry, without a doubt, could have been the All-Star.
Should have been over Caminero.
I think so.
Again, if we're going to turn...
If you're going to go crazy over it, the problem is, I mean, I hear people go nuts this last couple days about it. It's hard for me to get so upset about an All-Star snub. And by the way, I talked to Zach McKinstry the other day, ring the bell, and I don't know this for a fact, but he seems pretty dead set about going to the lake and hanging with his wife for 3 days. Just saying, maybe he's happy about it. I'm just saying, come on, are we really going to get this upset over Zach McKinstry?
Well, I think Benetti has made it a point that at least once a broadcast, they have to do the full graphic package, show a sign in the crowd, give the case for him to be an All-Star. Well, it's been an every single day thing.
Well, he's going to be upset because yesterday, and I caught some of the broadcast, he went on and on about the new analytics of a baseball player, what the All-Star game in Major League Baseball wants. They want Zach McKinstry. They want an athletic guy that can steal bags, that can play multiple positions, and Caminero beats him out. Here's what I would say, though. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Caminero plays third base every day. Mm-hmm. McKinstry doesn't.
Sure.
Does that play a role?
No, because nobody's playing 9 innings of an All-Star game. McKinstry's
but
played
the
enough
third baseman.
Yeah,
although Javi's the center fielder, so I get it.
How many McKinstry's played, and I don't have this in front of me, most of his games at third base, right? I mean, would you take if I said it confidently enough, would you believe that?
Yes, I
would. All right.
Yeah, you could totally lie to me. I'd be like, oh yeah, I heard Costa say it.
Costa on the radio said he's played most of his games at third base. I know he's played all over. He shortened a pinch right field the other day. I feel like most of the time McKinstry's at third base. It's not exclusively third base, but who the hell cares? He could play 3 innings of third in the All-Star game, and that's his primary position anyway. I don't care that Caminero's played more innings at third base, because I'm sure he has.
Yeah, so Zach McKinstry this year in 2025, my God, this guy plays a lot of positions. 48 games at third base. The next highest is 27 at right field.
Okay, so yeah.
I would buy it. Nicely enough.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
That's why you'd buy it.
Well, yes. And you said it too. I trust you.
Okay.
You're very smart.
I'm with you. And I don't want to turn this into Radio of the Aggrieved because we didn't get our fifth All-Star. He was on the fringe anyway. Like, there's a case, him versus Jazz Chisholm. There's a case, him versus Junior Caminero. I would lean McKinstry. I would lean on WAR. I would lean on OPS. There's plenty of numbers to justify McKinstry as an All-Star.
The bottom line is, like, the OPS kills me, right? Like, if you wanted to get upset over it, and it's the whole premise, if you wanted to get angry, which, by the way, at 6:22 on a Wednesday, who the hell is angry? Well, a lot of people. They're probably driving to work. But OPS, one is in the 800s. The other isn't. That, to me, is the determining factor. McKinstry gets the nod.
Yeah.
But the homers is a big deal, too, I feel. 21-7 is a big discrepancy.
What did you make of the comment of, like, what Major League Baseball wants in the All-Star game? Because I was listening, and it seemed like a little back and forth with Dirks and Benetti, because the debate of, do you want household names in the All-Star game? Is that what the All-Star game's for? Because I would argue Baez is there on name more than the production.
Okay, to be fair.
Or do you want the story of who's doing it that season? Zach McKinstry would make sense. Can you have it both ways? Can you say, I want who's the best, but I also want Javi in? Because I don't know that he's one of the five best outfielders by the numbers.
Yeah, but Javi was voted by Tiger fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got massive crowds at Comerica
Park. No, but I'm just talking, what do you want from the All-Star game?
I gotcha.
Do you want household names, or do you want the best players? Because
I want household names.
Then you want Baez and you don't want McKinstry.
Yes.
And if you want players, then you would say McKinstry and leave out Baez.
Right. I mean, let's be honest. The majority of people actually watching the All-Star game probably isn't a ton to begin with.
Yeah.
And you're going to forget about this by the time the All-Star game is over. But I hear you. I would want the names just like they do the legacy names. Remember, like, hey, let's get Miguel Cabrera to the All-Star game.
Kershaw this year.
Exactly. Yeah. When he doesn't deserve it. So I agree the names, but with that being said, like, Caminero's not a name.
No.
McKinstry's not a name.
No.
If you wanted to be pissed about this, you wanted to do the whole Detroit versus everybody, if you wanted to say McKinstry got screwed, I buy it. I'm just not going to get upset over it.
Could I say
that's the All-Star game.
Could I say Torque got screwed?
Yes.
He leads all first basemen in home runs in baseball. If we're doing the Caminero thing, like, none of the logic is consistent. If it's just about who has the most bombs Caminero's in, then Torque could have been in.
The funny thing
is, Will Vest has a real case to be in.
I think Casey Mize has a decent case.
He missed a little time, and he's in that pot of pitchers that you could have put in, sure. But then we come across as, why didn't we have 9 All-Stars? Why didn't we have 10 All-Stars?
Why aren't we the Pistons of 2005? But that's the thing.
And at the same time, we're the same city that says, we don't need the stars. We're a team.
Right,
it's this weird paradox that we find ourselves
like we
in.
We love our role player, McKinstry, but we want him to be an All-Star, but he'd still be a role player. No, it's weird, though, because if I were to tell you last year that next year, this year, you're going to have 4 All-Stars, you'd be giddy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, can one of them be in the Home Run Derby? How about this? McKinstry in the Home Run Derby. Do you have to be an All-Star to be in the Home Run Derby?
No, because is O'Neal Cruz, he's not an All-Star, right?
I don't think so.
And he just got announced to the Derby yesterday.
Let's do that.
All right. Settle it that way.
Or Baez. Who would you rather see, Riley Green or Baez?
Riley Green's the answer. With that lefty uppercut
swing.
Javi
Baez in the All-Star. Like, in the Home Run Derby, Baez with that swing, that'd be pretty fun to watch.
248-539-9797.
So do you think today, on the ticket, middays, Valeni and Rico, do you think people are going to be furious? We're not leading the charge.
This over-exaggerating of furious and anger, people aren't angry about this.
Are they irked? What's
you
the word?
You can make the argument from McKinstry. It's a nice story, but there's nobody angry about this, okay?
Miffed. Well, I've heard some anger, Tom.
By the way, last night, Jacob Wilson for the A's got hit in the wrist. Of early reports are it's nothing serious, but being so close to the All-Star game, he's a shortstop. Maybe another hole has opened up.
McKinstry can play short, you know.
I've heard that. Do I think there will be outrage? No. I think middays will lead a charge more than we will or afternoons will.
I do believe there'll be a massive conversation.
Are you saying will fans be outraged?
Yes,
yeah, fans will.
Yes.
I thought you were asking, will a host personally stand on the table and shout?
I think Gator will. He'll take his shirt off and he'll yell from the heavens. Okay. Absolutely.
Mike made it sound that way. Mike made it sound that way yesterday
That like, what?
Because he did a topic about what's the deal with the city and role player
I heard
city.
That, yeah.
And then he over-exaggerated and he used your name. We've got people getting on their mountaintop saying McKinstry should be in. No, we're just throwing the idea out there that you could make the case.
Okay.
They're two different things.
I didn't hear him say that. That's a funny exaggeration. I mean, I would...
Are you upset?
No. Look, if anybody was going to do it, it'd be the Central Michigan grad on the station.
Oh, that's a good point.
Who would sit here and go, this is another one of these disrespect for the little guy arguments. I could have done it. I didn't. The last 2 days with Stoney, we've gone out of our way, basically what you said, to say I'm not going to do the woe is me routine. I think there's a case. I think when you're on the fringe, though, you're not a snub. You're one of a bunch of guys that could have got in.
I thought he misrepresented you when he did that.
He's never done that before.
No, he never has.
I don't understand how you don't see why people believe he could be an all-star. Because that's the position he's in. He's in the extreme here.
Oh, I think
everybody
he understands,
else is having though. The conversation about, oh, he's among the guys right. that could have been an all-star. And he's like, why am I taking phone calls on Zach McKinstry in the all-star game? I don't know, dude, because he's in a pot of guys that could have been there.
The funny thing is, if you look at McKinstry over the course of the last couple days, yesterday he steals two big-time bags, right? Two walks, steals two bags, huge runs at the time. And then go back to Sunday. I mean, my God, the guy comes in as a pinch runner and gets the third base, scores on a wild pitch. So he does do a little of everything. Now,
he's second on the team in war among position players, third on the team overall behind only Green and Skubal. Why would anybody call this radio station to make the case for him to be an all-star?
Totally could. I just don't understand people getting upset over it.
Yeah.
Although maybe Tom's right. Maybe the average person is not upset. Annoyed?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what AJ says at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll talk to him 8:02.
He should probably just bash Junior Caminero. And by the way, Caminero's in town tonight. You should boo him.
Yeah, we got texters saying, hey, send a message.
Yeah, boo him. Boo him. Boo Caminero. Boo Junior. Tonight. Do you think maybe McKinstry and Caminero fight? Kind of like that golf course video we saw. Have you seen that?
No, what is that?
You haven't seen that?
No, who's
playing? There's a golfer talking a lot of smack. Because they're moving too slow, and he gets his ass kicked by a former enforcer for the Florida Panthers. You haven't seen this video?
Which Florida Panther?
I forget the guy's name. It's all over social media. Okay. Yeah,
I think I found it.
Yeah.
Oh, the video? Yeah, they're animated. Yeah. They fight?
They fight.
It's a minute long. I'm not going to do this.
Well, it's not really a fight. The enforcer kicks his ass.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch.
And then he lands a couple blows.
Yeah, well, while he lands the blows, he yells, bang, bang, bang. Oh, it's really cool.
He fights him hockey style. Yeah. He has him grabbed with one hand, and then he's swinging away.
Well, you can tell he doesn't really want to fight, but the guy won't shut up. The little guy won't shut up. So the enforcer throws him. He throws him in the pond at one point, lands a couple haymakers.
And you think McKinstry's doing that today?
I think he should do that to Caminero, yes.
Ticket texters. So, would you guys prefer to have a varsity all-star game and a JV all-star game so the big names can be seen and the smaller names can get recognition? So, what, instead of AL, NL, you have like it's household names versus the non-household names?
It's an exhibition for crying out loud. Nobody cares anyway. There is more craziness about who gets in than people that actually watch the damn game. Come on.
Hinch needs to get Zach a bat or two at catcher. Then he will have played all spots. It would be a lock, Pat and Romeo. Hey, Cookie, stop crying about the All-Star game.
Yeah, seriously. You're out of control. Out of control. Seriously.
I can't win.
All you do is whine.
I can't. I do whine a lot. I don't feel like I've whined at all about McKinstry.
And by the way, very quickly, the whole like, and McKinstry said this the other day, he loves playing all the different positions. You know who that reeks of? Shane Halter. Not an All-Star. Like, that's not All-Star behavior. Even though I think he deserves to go over Junior Caminero.
248-539-9797. 702. Rieger heard something in the press box this week. And I want to know if that sentiment rings true among the sports fans in the city of Detroit. This has come up from multiple people.
Yes.
Talking about this baseball team. And we want to know if the sentiment is something you agree with. We'll do that at 702. It's 97.1. Tigers win 4-2, go for a sweep of the Rays later today. Not a day game. Weather's pushed it back. 5 o'clock tonight.
Oh, good.
Tigers and Rays.
People have time to get down there after work.
And boo Junior Caminero.
Yeah, boo. The newest all-star.
He gets in. He's the reserve. Bregman out. Caminero in. But what about Z-Mac?
Okay, you do realize Z-Mac's going off. Like, if you're a gambler, I would do Z-Mac props today. He's going to go yards, steal a couple bags. get a couple hits, play seven positions.
Rieger's going to get someone betting themselves out of house and home.
I think it's a surefire. Can't lose bet.
Can't lose.
Can't lose.
Right. He has a case over Caminero.
I think
if it was between the two, I would have put McKinstry in. Now, this is not me doing the thing where we shedding tears because we didn't get our fifth or sixth or seventh All-Star. We got four All-Stars. We got a damn good baseball team. I don't need McKinstry in the All-Star game for some validation. Do I think he's better this season than Junior Caminero? I do.
Yes.
I do emphatically. Higher WAR, higher OPS. You start to measure things like what you do in the field. McKinstry is the better player. What you do on the base paths, McKinstry is the better player. Should he be in over Caminero? Yes. But I'm staring at you and you feel the same way. I'm not going to like lose sleep over this. I'm not going to be outraged by the All-Star game. I'm not going to let it get me to that level of frustration.
No, there are things in this job that you can't wait to come into the studio and talk about because you're so pissed off.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lions pretty much this in my entire career, like, you know, coming in on a Monday, talking about the Lions after they gagged another one away in an SOL moment is like the greatest thing ever because you're all furious. This, it's the All-Star game. And let's be honest, too. Like, the recognition is great, but nobody watches the All-Star game.
No.
I mean, people just unplug. They're going to stream the latest episode of Mobland or Stick. That's what the All-Star break is for.
I could argue Vest should be in and Torque should be in, but then I'm the guy yelling for seven All-Stars. And I can't fake it. I've never faked it. If I don't passionately feel that way, I'm not going to fake it. I'd like to see him in, fire up chips in the whole bit.
Yeah.
I think he's deserving of being there. But, oh well.
You guys are similar ages, by the way.
Yeah.
Were you there when he was there?
He was there.
Did you guys party together?
We didn't party together. I think he was there just after me.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little older than him.
Gotcha.
Because he's 30, I'm 30. Yeah.
Is he the most famous chip?
Ever?
Well, Dick Emberg, you and
Antonio
him.
Brown.
Oh, that's a good one.
Eric Fisher was number one pick. I know he's an offensive lineman.
Yeah, offensive lineman.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it, right? And Dietrich Enns.
Dietrich Enns.
Yeah.
By the way, you said Dietrich Enns was posing with Western Michigan yesterday.
I could be wrong about this, but I'm almost certain I'm not.
Then we won't bring it up then because we don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, well.
Oh, too late. Did you say you saw him?
Well, Western Michigan yesterday because, of course, they won the championship. I know you're upset about that. But they win the you guys don't have a hockey team, do you?
We don't.
Yeah. Why not?
We have a wrestling program instead.
Oh, that's big. Anyway, so.
So dismissive.
So Western wins the championship. They go to Comerica Park yesterday. And I could have sworn, maybe I'm wrong, maybe my eyes have betrayed me, but I could have sworn that Dietrich Enns was the one Tiger on the end with the Western Michigan hockey team.
You can't do that's a party foul.
But maybe he's thinking like Mac Pride.
Okay. You would never see it the other way. You would never see a Michigan State hockey national title and then a Michigan athlete posing with them.
I wouldn't think so. I'm just saying.
Don't cheapen our rivalry, Dietrich, allegedly. I don't know.
No offense. I mean, does anybody care about the
Well, if we don't care about our own
rivalry.
I get you don't, and I get a lot of people don't. Yeah. But if we don't care about our own rivalry, then why even have it?
By the way, somebody's saying Chris Mullen, the most famous chip. Is that true?
Chris Mullen? Chris Kamen, maybe?
Oh. Yeah, it's got to be that. Chris Mullen played at St. John's.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe he met Dan Marley?
Maybe he did meet Dan Marley.
He combined some chips? I don't know.
I should not read these tickets next. I apologize.
I think Dan Marley has done more in his professional career than Zach McKinstry. I don't know how you compare that. Just my opinion.
Thunder Dan.
Wow. If you had look Dan, at Tom with the haymakers.
If you had Dan Marley coming up today on the show, congrats. We are going to segue out of Chippewa, famous Chippewa athletes. 702, we got...
I wonder why.
Eastern has more.
Okay, we're going to do the Iceman.
Earl
we're going to do
Boykins.
Earl Boykins.
Yeah.
Derek Dial.
Remember, a very good pitcher back in his day, Bob Welch.
Charlie Batch.
Oh, Charlie Batch is a great one. TJ Lang.
Yeah. Pretty impressive list. Max Crosby.
Yeah, Max Crosby.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Oh, he went to Eastern, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I trade for him.
248.
Stop it.
702. Rieger's heard this in the press box multiple times. Want to know if the sentiment is shared by Detroit sports fans. It's about this Tiger baseball team. Before we get into that, you have an old man take. But I think people probably agree with it.
I don't know that they do. I'll just give it to you very quickly because it pisses me off. I'm done with it. So, Ozzy Osbourne, you're aware.
Mm-hmm.
You're not too young for him.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath retired over the weekend. It was a great concert. They played all their hits. Ozzy, unfortunately, has Parkinson's, so he was in a chair the whole time. Steven Tyler came back and sang a Zeppelin song and Walk This Way. I mean, there was all kinds of stars. It was great. And it was the end of rock and roll. It was over. And I watched the videos on YouTube, and I got sentimental. I'm like, wow, rock and roll doesn't exist anymore. And then I watched other YouTube videos over the course of the last couple days, and also Oasis is back. The two brothers have bonded together. They're now on tour in the UK. They sound fantastic. So I decided to do a little test with my 9-year-old daughter. I'm trying to get her into actual legitimate music because the stuff today blows. It's awful.
So what does she listen to?
She listens to Sabrina Carpenter.
She's popular.
Benson Boone, Taylor Swift, Chapel Roan. All nice people, I'm sure, but their music sucks. Okay? And I play like AC/DC for Olive. She likes Thunderstruck a little bit. I play her Guns N' Roses. I played her Black Sabbath and Metallica. Like the greats, right? And she has no interest. And then I realize no kid has any interest. Why? Because bands are dead, Jim. Rock and roll is dead. People like country over rock and roll. There's no such thing as a bass player anymore, a guitar player. It's all dead, and it's disgusting. And I do believe what I saw over the weekend with the Ozzy concert that pretty much indicated, like, we're in for hell, music-wise, for the next, I don't know, like, maybe the next 20 years. The good stuff is gone.
Yeah, but haven't people done this forever?
What,
like, 20 years ago, or they were like, music's going downhill.
No, I don't think so. No.
It was better with Elvis.
No, like, listen, and again, maybe I'm an old guy, but I grew up in the 90s, right? There was all kinds of great bands that you went to concerts and you got high and you got drunk
people
and you
still
sang along to. Do they?
You don't think people get high or drunk and go to concerts?
Not with rock and roll. Rock and roll's dead. It's very sad. Is that an old man take?
It is. It doesn't mean it's wrong.
Like, what is your favorite band?
So the last concert I went to, was Green Day.
Okay, see, I like Green Day.
And they put on a hell of a show.
Once they
retire. Do they count? Well, they're not retiring.
Once they retire, along with the Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam, probably rock and roll truly will be dead.
So, but that's probably another,
I don't know,
5 to 10 years.
And then it's over. Done.
And then music ceases to exist.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland goes out of business.
Well, they've already started inducting people that aren't rockers. I mean, that's long gone.
Well, they
gone.
Have no choice. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, like, I listen to the stuff my daughter listens to, and I don't worry about her generation as far as, like, academics or, you know, making a name for themselves in the world. I worry about their music. They're not exposed to the good stuff. It's crap what they listen to. It's all auto-tune. There's no guitar. It's just single people singing. And it's not even that good. It's like all American Idol stuff. Rock and roll, the way we used to have it, the way we loved it. I know Tom knows what I'm talking about. It's dead. How did we get to this point? It's a very sad state.
Well, and there's been this shift to country. Like, I just pulled up the Hot 100, the Billboard chart. And Morgan Wallen.
Country.
Morgan Wallen.
Country. He's pretty popular.
He's got three in the top 10 here.
I mean, country's fine, but it's not rock and roll.
And we've seen a shift, by the way, too. Like, Post Malone's doing country.
Yes.
Beyonce's doing country.
Hey.
And you're...
Country sucks.
Okay.
I mean, I understand it doesn't suck because a lot of people go to their concerts, but it's not as iconic as Zeppelin was and Aerosmith
was. Yeah, but
was.
How much of this, like, I joke, like...
No, I understand I'm old. I'm almost 50 years old, so maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe this is me yelling at the clouds.
So pre-Elvis, and I know I'm going back.
Wow, yeah.
People go, this Elvis thing, it's too much hip gyration. It's sexualized. The Beatles are going to ruin music.
Right.
And then the Beatles roll around, and it's great. We love it. And now it's, well, music's going to die when the Beatles are gone and Elvis is gone. Well, now we got rock. Well, rock sucks. I mean, this is just what happens every, 15, 20 years?
See, I don't think
so,
though.
We just bitch about the genre of music that's going out of style.
But the problem is, I think one style is going extinct. It was the style. And now it's all Olivia Rodrigo. I got my driver's license last night. It's awful. It's really bad. And yet my daughter just belts out the lyrics and I try like hell to get her into the good stuff and she doesn't care. It's really bad.
Is this an old man take and is Rieger right? It's 97.1. Guys, KG Law is the place you want to go if you find yourself in a bad spot. You get injured in a car accident. KG Law cares about you. They're going to fight for you, go the extra mile for you. Lawrence KG is a Detroiter. He built his team up with the simple goal in mind, take care of his clients, and it leads to results. 98% success rate. Phone number is 877-KG-CARES. You can check him out online, kgcares.com. That's K-A-J-Y. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, motorcycle accident, whatever the case may be, call KG Law. Visit kgcares.com. He'd later homer, Tigers win. Little rock as we come back.
Yeah, Alice in Chains.
They
were good.
You were doing something that I do, that you do, that we all do from time to time.
We all do it.
You're complaining.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about how your daughter likes all this bubblegum pop junk garbage, and you're trying to get her into rock music, but you realized it's dead.
And
it's dying, if not already dead. And it makes you sad. And I think it also kind of makes you an old man.
Probably both. And that makes me sad too.
Yeah.
But no, Jim, the concept of a band, when you have a front man that can captivate an entire crowd and can wear women's clothing, when you have like a bassist and a guitarist and a drummer, like the foundation of what made music good, that part's dead too. Now it's just one guy for the most part, or woman for the most part, singing about stuff I don't care about. And again, maybe that just makes me old.
I'm scrolling, looking for a band in the top 100 songs right now. I'm going to keep scrolling.
If you just put it into Google, best current rock bands, there's only a few since like 2012. One's Greta Van Fleet.
Okay,
The other are dated early 2000s and the 90s. Now, I will say there's a little bit of a reason for this to a degree. Not that new bands, they're out there, they're not getting the attention. But like the carrying the torch and carrying some rock along the way, like Linkin Park, I think was pretty good. Are they completely full rock? You can argue. I think Linkin Park put out good music.
No, they were great.
Same.
They're still around.
Right. But they reformed. Chester Bennington died.
Right.
And they went out of touch for 6 years. So there was no, like, they would at least carry, oh, hey, we got a new rock song to kind of throw in. You know, and even farther back, but I think it's true. You know, the deaths of Kurt Cobain and Layne Staley from Alice in Chains, the bands were never the same. I mean, it's Alice in Chains tried to keep going, but it just never was the same. And at least they would still be putting out music today. Now, they would be starting to be dinosaurs pretty soon, but they could have carried the torch a little bit.
Well, exactly.
Just give us a little bit of rock.
Well, that's my point. Nobody's extended it. It's like when all the grunge bands died, went away, whatever the case was in the 90s, and then we haven't had anything pop up. Like, it went from iconic band to iconic band. Every generation, every decade had a new band that you love, that you listen to. It's all gone. And I find it so crazy to think that rock and roll, which we all grew up on, which we all love, is just gone.
Chili,
like, it doesn't exist.
Chili Peppers, like,
they still exist a little bit.
They do, but it seems like they were still putting out stuff into the 2010s. But this doesn't seem like anything lately. And I don't know when the last time Pearl Jam did anything decent.
What is, you said you were just looking at for the top 100 list, you were looking for a rock band?
Any band.
Any band.
Rock. I mean, to your point, it's all one name or two names featuring this. Yeah. 248-539-9797. You say it's garbage. We'll get the phone calls and the ticket text.
I'm allowed to my opinion.
Let's start with Zach in Royal Oak. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
What's up, Zach?
Hey, so sort of an old man take, I guess sort of not. The top 100 music is trash, like, without a doubt. But if you know where to look, there's still some great rock music coming out. I mean, for one, as a Detroit guy, Jack White is still coming out with rock music, which is great. If you haven't heard of this name before, it's a little weird. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard is an international rock band that's coming out with great music, filling stadiums. There's guys like Sturgill Simpson. There's guys like Goose that are bands that are a little more low-key, but coming out with great music. They have great live events. You just got to know where to find them.
I got to be honest with you, Zach. It's good information. But how we
check out
the
lizard
call,
people?
The gizzard lizard?
Yeah.
You just got to know where to find them.
That's too much work for people, man.
Like, it used to be you find them at DTE or Pine Knob or the Palace of Auburn Hills or Little Caesars Arena. Now it's, you have to go underground to find rock and roll.
Some ticket text.
Yeah.
Rieger taking on the Swifties was not what I expected this morning.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Taylor is probably the best of the trash my daughter listens to. Yeah, I don't mind Taylor Swift.
They'll come for you.
I'm not afraid of them.
They'll dox you.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Who's more powerful, the Swifties or the Gagas?
Swifties.
Okay. Well, Lady Gaga's people used to be pretty big.
Were they?
I think so. What are they called? They're called something. What is Lady Gaga's people called?
I don't know. She's super talented. I just couldn't tell you what her people are called.
I actually saw her in concert. She was great.
When she did the Super Bowl, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I saw her at the LCA, and she sat down and played the piano. It was sensational. And she sang that poker face.
Old man take. Rock and roll made a shift years ago. The good stuff is all hard rock or heavy metal now. That's not the same thing.
I mean, it is. It's fine.
Rock and roll is back in the clubs, but not in the mainstream. You have to go to a good rock and roll club to see it. And see it anymore.
It's like it's abolished. You got to go to a...
Banished. Like a speakeasy.
Exactly.
Underground.
Where can I find rock and roll these days? My good, it's never coming back, is it?
Rock and roll is mostly dead. Thankfully, we have Greta Van Fleet.
Okay. Yeah. People always name one band. Aren't they from here, by the way?
I think Michigan. They're from Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Texter says, Youngblood is the new Ozzy. Have you heard of Youngblood?
No. Do they bite the heads off bats?
My wife brought up wanting to see Youngblood. I'd never heard of them. Okay. They're going to be here in September.
And venue?
The Fillmore.
Okay. See, they're not
doing LCA or Ford Field. And it looks like it's one dude, to your point. It doesn't look like, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of my ass. I don't know.
But Jim, this is my problem, okay? Okay, so we're crying about rock and roll being dead, and somebody brings up a single dude that's playing the Fillmore.
Yeah.
Like that's your proof that
that's the counterpunch, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, all right, go see. What's his name again?
Youngblood. Yeah.
Go see Youngblood.
Let's get to Bill in Milford. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Bill.
So I just wanted to kind of draw your attention to Mammoth because that band is amazing. And the lead singer is Eddie Van Halen's son, and I think he's carrying the torch a little bit.
Okay.
I do agree. There's not as many rock and roll bands as there used to be, so I'm not trying to throw a counterpunch, but I am interested in letting you know about Mammoth. And also, you know, Muse in Europe, they're pretty good.
I've heard of Muse.
They're considered rock and roll as well, so there you go.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. By the way, Lady Gaga fans are known as Little Monsters.
That's what it is. Okay, good.
Stu in West Bloomfield, good morning.
Hey, I was just going to say the Little Monsters comment too, but I agree with Rieger. All music now is just pretty much crappy. I'm going to just go to YouTube and find my old music and play the good stuff from the Chili Peppers, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam.
See, this is what I'm talking about, though. You're so dead on. Like, I think every person thinks music from their era was great, while people that are younger thinks it sucked. But I don't think there's a whole lot of younger people that think back to, like, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s and say, oh, yeah, Guns N' Roses really blew. You know what I mean? Like, it was actual talent back then. Now, where's the talent?
You can even go further back to the 60s and the 70s. Music just fell off, like... after the 2000s, like during this new generation of music, because all they do is copy and paste the music. Like you turn on the radio and you think you're hearing a classic, and then here comes some new teeny bopper trying to rap or trying to sing over a classic. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like Hollywood, man. Where's the creativity? They're all lazy. They have to rip off the good stuff from the past because they can't come up with it on their own.
Like, what's that song that's newer now? It's Anxiety, which is just riffing off of somebody I used to know.
Oh.
Like, but that's what it is now. It's kind of like movies where we just do, like, sequels and superhero movies.
Right.
Like, there's nothing new. You just kind of riff off of somebody's old... Didn't someone recently do a riff off of that I'm Blue song?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's...
I'm Blue,
they did like a new spoof of it. It's like, okay, that's new music.
Yeah, you're ripping it off. Like, if they get credit, they make money off this?
That Anxiety song might be the most annoying song created in years. It is awful. Do you know what we're talking about, Jeff?
I don't, actually. I haven't listened...
Check it out in the break.
Is it Charlie XCX, I think, does it? It's one of those artists. I don't know.
Not a band.
It's awful.
Not a band, to Rieger's point. 248-539-9797. Bit of an old man take, but people, I told you people would agree with it. People, this is resonating. Yeah. People want to call in and talk about it.
Well, we're all old, I think.
Okay, maybe there's some truth to that.
Nostalgia is a great thing.
We'll take some of those phone calls. I do want to get to what you heard in the press box, because I disagree with this narrative forming maybe in the shadows.
I heard it twice, Jim.
But maybe it is the prevailing notion among Tiger fans. We'll get to that in the next hour. It's 97.1.